it.
Thanks a lot. Alice in Wonderland. All right, this is 5 o'clock. This is KKCR Honolulu, KQA, Kilauea. I want to say that the Kauai Earth Connection is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee, Qingyang Shopping Village, Kalaheo Wellness Center, and the Kauai County Farm Fair.
Kauai Coffee Company. The Kauai Coffee Estate is located on Highway 540. Walking tour and samples of all of our coffees available. 100% Island Estate grown Kauai Coffee. More information online at kauaicoffee.com.
Qingyang Shopping Village proudly supports Kauai's community radio by underwriting this program. Qingyang, the heart of Hanalei. Mahalo, Jeff Culver House, for your support.
Kalaheo Wellness Center, natural pain relief services, providing gentle chiropractic, acupuncture, therapeutic massage, nutritional wellness, electromagnetic cellular therapy, and spinal rehab. Most major health insurance plans and Medicare accepted. Open Monday through Friday, 332-5580 or online at kalaheochiropractic.com.
Announcing the 2014 Kauai County Farm Bureau Fair, Thursday, August the 21st through Sunday the 24th at Vidinha Stadium in Lihue. This year's fair celebrates Back to Our Roots with 4 days of fun, food, farming, and entertainment for the whole family. Mahalo, Kauai, for supporting Kauai's farmers. Full schedule online at kauaifarmfair.org. That's the Kauai County Farm Bureau Fair, August 21st through the 24th at Vidinha Stadium. More information at kauaifarmfair.org.
Nearly 700,000 Americans were arrested on marijuana charges last year. That's an enormous waste of law enforcement resources and terribly unfair to those arrested and their families. It's time we stopped arresting adults who smoke marijuana responsibly. For more information, visit Normal's website at www.normal.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL and tell them Willie sent you.
Opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
All right, everybody. All right. Thanks so much for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And here we are.
We're trying to educate the board of directors and the staff of KKCR.
And Kauai.
And the whole island if they're listening. Yeah. Yeah, this is Gordon Labedz, and I'm here with my friend Yah, and we're doing the Kauai Earth Connection again for the month. What is it, the third Monday of every month?
That's
yeah.
Right, right.
And our deal is we're doing the news and commentary of the Kauai environment. News and commentary means these are our opinions, and what's that deal about if you don't like our opinion, you can turn the station?
If you don't like what you're listening to, you can always just change the station.
Change the station.
You may have to find that because that's always a good one.
Yeah. But we're trying to you know, let people know what happened environmentally over the last month and kind of review what's been going on and our thoughts about it. And it's unfortunately, since we only have an hour, we're not going to take calls. It's not a call-in show. We'd love to have 2 hours and have a call-in show, but the way the scheduling works around here, it does not work. So
news and commentary.
News and commentary.
You don't call the news station.
Yeah. If you don't like the news. Well, anyway, so here, you know, normally we start out the show with the Surfrider Foundation's Blue Water Task Force water quality results. And this month we had the big hurricane scare.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah. Well, how could you not? Because everybody's got full cupboards.
Oh, my God.
Stocked up on toilet paper.
You know, I live in Kekaha, and wow, were we hoping for rain, you know? We thought, oh, man, a hurricane's coming. We're going to get some rain. And we probably got a couple hours of rain. Yeah, it was cool. We were happy.
Nice.
But, Yeah, the hurricane didn't actually materialize, but it definitely caused the Surfrider Foundation to cancel their water testing for this month. So okay. We have no results for you. We're sorry, but I can tell you right now, the same places are always dirty, and the same other places are always clean.
It's true. Kalapaki Bay.
Yeah.
Niamalu.
Pakala Bay. And anything that has a flowing stream in front of it is going to be dirty.
That's right. And you can always go to surfriderkauai.org.
That's right. Surfriderkauai.org, yeah.
And you can go there and you can see all the results for all these years, right?
All these years. They've been doing it for, what, 5 years, 6 years? I don't know, a long time.
Quite a while.
Dr. Carl Berg, the Carl's a marine biologist, but, you know, he tests the water for bacteria, and what we found is that every single solitary stream on the island is polluted. And it does make sense because we have no sewage treatment here, so we basically pour the sewage into the ground, either with a septic tank or worse, with a cesspool. And
That seems like a bad idea.
It's not a good idea. It's just not a good way to treat sewage. Well, it doesn't really treat sewage. It just dumps it. Again, our apologies, but, you know, hurricanes are hurricanes, so we're just going to have to skip that part of the show and move on. University of Hawaii has sent someone over to give us kind of an update on the coral disease that's going on in the North Shore. And if you saw the Garden Island, I guess it was Sunday's paper's big article on Terry Lilly, who was a marine photographer who did a nice job taking pictures.
He's fantastic.
Fabulous pictures.
He has a lot of experience, visual, just experience in the water.
Yeah.
So he's seen the changes.
He's seen the changes, and he's really a very skilled photographer. I saw his book out there in the lobby at KKCR.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I agree.
But so we wanted to talk a little bit about coral disease, because one of the things that hasn't come out that was probably a year ago in the Hanapepe Ocean Science Lectures. It was a lecture by a geologist named Chuck Blay, B-L-A-Y. And he's written a couple of books on the geology of Kauai, really excellent books. Google Blay, B-L-A-Y, Geology Kauai, and pick up his book. It's excellent because he's able to explain difficult concepts to people who, you know, have no background in it. And he gave a talk on beach sand on Kauai, and he's been studying beach sand on Kauai for decades, and so he knows quite a bit, and I learned a lot from that lecture. And one of the things he said about the coral here is that if you go to Tahiti and you go snorkeling there, you're going to see a whole different type of coral. And it's more the Disneyland type of coral that, you know, all these beautiful fans and trees and beautiful colors and just wowzer, wowzer. And the coral here on Kauai is, it's called Coralin coral. And it's not very pretty. It's pretty boring. And that kind of coral is what makes up the white sand on our beaches. And that's what his talk was. He's not a marine biologist. He's a geologist, and he's interested in what causes the sand. And, you know, on the mainland, sand is comes from the rivers. Rivers bring sand down to the beach. And in places where there's a lot of dams and flood control things, the beaches get starved with sand, and mainland beaches don't have sand anymore. But here in Hawaii, the sand comes from the reefs breaking down. So one of the Blaze points was that don't think our reefs are sick just because they don't look all beautiful and pretty the way they do in Tahiti or Fiji or those kind of Pacific islands. And I thought that was pretty interesting, and I wanted to share it because there is a bit of controversy about how bad our reefs are. It's not completely clear that the, you know, the photos that Terry Lilly takes are dramatic. You know, you see these dead corals. And for me, when I was a kid, I used to surf in Florida, and Florida lost all its reefs, nothing. They're all dead. And in my lifetime, and you know, reefs are fragile. And what the talk on the reef things was, well, maybe this die-off thing comes and goes. It may be seasonal. It's not clear. Some of the reefs are gotten better. There's some talk that Anini Beach has improved greatly. It's not black and white what's going on. But we do know that if you put poisons in the water, the reefs are going to die. And we do know that if you put too much nitrogen and phosphates from fertilizers, the reefs are going to die. And we know that our streams are full of that stuff. So, you know, it's not something to take lightly, because without reefs, the island would be in trouble in many, many ways. So, you know, that's kind of the scoop on the reef thing. It's, you know, some have raised the issue of, could the reefs be been hurt by Navy sonar? Well, we know that reefs, little polyps, the little one-celled animals, when they're disturbed by sonar, they can't find a place to land. And so it is true that sound will bother a reef. How badly it bothers, I don't know, and I don't think anyone does. Then there's the question of microwave radiation. Microwave radiation was a monster environmental issue not too long ago around the whole smart meter issue. You remember the KIUC was putting these meters in your home that would blast electromagnetic ray to their substation, which would blast it to their little place where they charge you money for your bill. And a meter reader didn't have to come out to your house. Well, a lot of people were thinking, wow, these electromagnetic radiation things might be dangerous. And we had a number of speakers and lecturers on the island talk about the dangers of electromagnetic radiation. And I remember when cell phones came out 20 years ago, I looked into cell phones and decided that they weren't a good idea. These things are a kind of a radiation that may be safe, but may very well be not safe. And there's some evidence that they're harmful. There's some good evidence that they're harmful, and more evidence is coming out. So do these big monster radar towers up in Kokea and Polihali up there, are they affecting the reefs? Could be. I don't know, you know. Who knows, yeah.
I think that, you know, before the installation, they would do a kind of study instead of just throw them up and then, you know, try to discourage people from doing a study.
Yeah.
Before that, you know. So it seems like before it happens, you should do a study first.
That's a precautionary principle.
Yeah. And, you know,
make sure you're not doing some harm before you do it. Is synopsis of the precautionary principle, and it's a good system. I mean, I was in Honolulu Harbor not too long ago, and I saw this radar thing that was, what, 20, 30 stories high?
It's almost like an oil platform.
Yeah.
Size-wise. Yeah.
Size-wise, it was as big as an oil platform.
It's outrageous, yeah.
They blast electromagnetic rays all over the place, and I'm sorry, this just can't be good. I don't know if it hurts the coral or not, but I don't think it's good for anything. You know, I mean, your microwave oven is an electromagnetic. They used to call them radar ranges back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
They're electromagnetic radiation, and they cook. They'll cook your eggs, you know. I mean,
with radiation. That's why I don't own one.
Yeah.
I never have.
Yeah. I mean, it's. So who knows? Who knows? But we know that the runoff from the land is definitely affecting our reefs, and our reefs get sick, and they get this blue green algae forming on them, and you know.
And they take a while to recover.
Yeah.
Once they are sick.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of an issue that we've got to keep on, and I think that photographer Terry Lilly has raised the flag and got people aware of it, and his photographs are really impressive, and we need to thank everybody who's been working on the reef health to find out what's good and what's working and what's not working. So that happened. We had a couple lectures. We had a lecture on growing new reefs, which is a possibility. And her name escapes me now, from DNLR, works with Don Heacock. I'll think of it in a minute. Katie, anyway, she's had experience in growing reefs in the South Pacific, and it can be done. Maybe there's some healing we can do. Who knows? But that's sort of the scoop on the reef issue. I think that we got to keep our eyes open.
And you know, the overfishing as well, because just the fish population in the reefs is dwindled just in the short time I've been on this island. The Garden Island just did an online poll with the question. They posed the question, are we overfishing the ocean? And 80% of the folks that voted online thought, yes, we are overfishing.
Yeah,
9% said no.
Well, good. That means the word's getting out.
Right. I just wanted to point that out.
90% of all the big fish in the ocean have gone. They're dead.
Right.
They've been killed.
Over 90%.
Over
90%. The big mouth fish. I just heard that on Hawaii Public Radio last
week.
Did you? They're interviewing this lady about that.
Big mouth fish?
Big mouth fish. So
really?
Big fish that...
Certainly the whales are gone. Humans have really done a number on the planet. There's no question.
Yeah. I think there's too much of an alarmist idea of it, because there's just too much of an alarmist, a lack of extreme alarmist. You know, we've always had these alarmist ideas thrown out.
You're listening to the Kauai Earth Connection. We're moving on. This is news and commentary. We were just talking about the coral reef and the disease with that. We're moving on to the RIMPAC.
And as an alarmist from way back, that, by the way, was us, Kennedy. No, yeah, that's a candidate running for office. This was alarmist. One of the alarms that we raised was around the issue of the Rim of the Pacific War Games, the RIMPAC, Rim of the Pacific. And RIMPAC's over. Thank you.
Thank goodness,
thank
man.
God for that.
Yeah.
And five environmental groups got together, Hohola Leo, Whale Voice, the Sierra Club Kauai Group, the Surfrider Foundation Kauai Chapter, People for the Preservation of Kauai, and the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Justice got together and decided we needed to educate the public about RIMPAC and its effects on the ocean. So they formed this coalition called Oceans for Peace, and their website is still up, oceans4peace.org. They did a nice campaign. It was a very successful campaign. They did three public events, two panel discussions that are still playing on Hawaii television now. You get a chance. You'll learn a lot about what the U.S. military is doing to the Pacific. There were a number of sign wavings and radio shows. A lot of good educational understanding came out around RIMPAC, which was good, because a lot of people never heard of RIMPAC, didn't know what it was. So we're glad to see RIMPAC, but I wanted to
gone.
Say
glad
about
to see him gone.
Gone. Yeah, I wanted to say that. One of the things we had was a hotline, and people called up and said, "Oh my God, I saw this dead this or dead fish." And there was a dead pilot whale in Hanalei Bay, and when they called the hotline, the whale was still alive. And I have since learned from the chair of Kohola Leo that pilot whales are very, very community oriented. They stay in groups, and if one whale got sick and went to the beach, The whole family would come in with them, the whole pod. And the fact that this whale died alone in Hanalei Bay by himself says that probably the whole family already died, because these are deep ocean whales, and the sonar probably scared them so much that they had to, you know, whales breathe air, remember, they're mammals, and they went to the surface so quickly that they got the bends, they got an air embolism in their arteries and died. And you know, the autopsy on this pilot whale showed no trauma, showed no injuries, showed no disease. It was a healthy whale. So you know the Navy killed it, and God knows how many other dead animals. I mean, there was a whole big fish kill on Oahu. There was a big...
just so happened to happen during RIMPAC.
Yeah, just happened in RIMPAC. Yeah. Never happens.
Again.
And what was that big... algae slick that was off the coast, remember that, you know?
Oh, the algae bloom or whatever algae bloom. That went on the east side.
Just so you know, none of these Navy ships have sewage treatment facilities. None of them. And there's, what, 24 countries worth of sewage, 25,000 sailors pooping in the ocean. You know, so, yeah, we don't need RIMPAC. We need peace. We need to prepare for peace, not war games. So,
Golden Eagle says that RIMPAC is a waste of money and time.
Yes, thank you, Golden Eagle. It is a waste of money and time. And preparing for war only gets us war. So let's move on. There was Kauai Rising, a conservation group that's concerned about pesticides and genetically modified food, put together a charter amendment. They got 4,000 signatures to put it on the ballot. And the charter amendment was to change the charter to establish a panel of people who would judge whether a particular pesticide was safe or not safe. You know, there was a little more than that, but that was the big picture of this charter amendment. And they got their signatures once, and they went to the clerks, and they kicked it out on a technicality. They said, nah, we're not accepting these signatures. So they went out, and in 2 or 3 weeks, they got another 4,000 signatures. And the clerk said it was okay, so then they went to the county council, and the county council had a vote, and, gosh, I can't even remember. I don't know who voted for what, but it was a majority said, no, we're not accepting this. And the basis of which they didn't accept the thing was not on whether pesticides were good or whether GMOs were good. The basis, they said, was this is not a charter amendment. This is an initiative, and it won't hold up in court. And the argument, the leading arguer, was Mel Raposo, who said, you know, the Ohana Amendment on taxes about 10 years ago and the amendment, but it was to restrict a hotel building to make it conform to the general plan. That got kicked out, too, both by the Supreme Court. It said, no, it's not a charter amendment. It's really an initiative in disguise. And Raposo and his followers said the same thing. And, you know, and so the folks at Kauai Rising gave it some serious thought, and they figured to sue the county would probably cost about $150,000, and they would probably lose since those other two charter amendments lost. So they decided to drop it. And, you know, that's a battle in a long-term campaign, and the battle was lost, but lots of people signed that petition, lots of people were educated, and
Nice to know there's a good amount of folks out there that would have supported it. So
let's
hope something comes back around with that.
I really do, because
wasn't part of that where the island of Kauai, the water and the ocean shoreline would have the same rights as a human?
That's
kind of exciting.
That is cool. The focus of the Kauai Rising is the rights of nature. that nature should have the same rights as do human beings.
If not more so.
And as corporations. Because corporations have the same rights as a human being
right.
in this country.
Yeah.
But corporations don't have the same responsibilities a human being have, which is really a whole radio show in and of itself.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but... yeah, nature has no standing.
Nature's considered a resource instead of, a living, breathing, sentient being.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember way back in a lawsuit that was done by the Sierra Club Legal Foundation, which became Earth Justice Foundation later, and the Supreme Court Justice. Real famous guy, I can't remember now, but it was a case against the Disney Corporation who wanted to build a ski resort in California, and his question was, does a tree have standing, legal standing? And, is a tree an entity that has legal rights? Well, not really. Unfortunately, trees just get chopped down, It's like, oh, well. All right, well, so moving right along. Again, this is Gordon Lebeds, and we're at the almost halfway point of Kauai Earth Connection. We're going over the news and commentary on what's been going on Kauai in the last month vis-a-vis the environment, conservation and issues. And I think probably the biggest single thing this month was the election.
The primaries
were really very huge as far as the environment is concerned, because the environment lost really badly. I mean, polluters and destroyers, the pro-polluters, the pro-destroyers really did quite well in this election. And my thinking is, rather than get signatures on a charter amendment, we need to vote these guys out. You look at who came in first and second place in the county council. We're in trouble. The GMO companies put a lot of money into their candidates, and they all moved forward. In fact,
moved up.
Errol Kaneshiro, nobody ever heard of him last year, and he came in fourth place or third place or something like that. He works for Grove Farm, and Mel Raposo was number one, and Ross Gagawa is number two, and we're in trouble.
I would say we're in trouble. My theory with that is, those that support those guys, they were all encouraged to vote
for
right away during the primary. And so I think that's the most votes that they will get. I don't think they'll gain any more in the actual election. Yeah. And, I think the rest of the folks will gain votes throughout. But they're definitely in.
That's a good point. They probably voted absentee early on, and
I'm sure they were encouraged by the employees that.
I know they had a little rally at the Waimea Theater. It's out where I live, and they were given signs and T-shirts to all the anti-environmental, pro-pesticide candidates, Errol Kaneshiro and Arthur Braun, all these guys. They have these big high-end campaigns, and these guys don't have that kind of money. Come on.
There's a lot of signs. One of the neatest things I saw, if we can go on a little bit of a tangent, was I saw those cluster of signs that seem to happen, at least on the west side for sure, like Braun and Carvalho, Raposo, Kagawa,
Kaneshiro. Yeah.
What was really neat was, this was in LA, is somebody had sprayed poison.
Oh, is that right?
Roundup, and all this grass was dead. It was just this death. And then right in front of it was all these signs. Yeah. And I really wanted to take a picture.
Roundup.
If I would have had a camera, I'd be like, oh, well, there you go. That's what represents.
Yeah. The Roundup Ready candidates.
Roundup Ready. They're ready for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
But I got to say that our erstwhile candidate for mayor did pretty well, I thought.
Yeah.
Right out of the box, this kid is, you know, professional surfer and never been a politician in his life, got, what, 37% of the
something
vote?
Like
again.
That? Yeah,
that's pretty damn good.
Good
I mean,
start.
He's got a shot at old Carvalho, I think. I mean, yeah, especially if what you say, the
yeah, I think so.
The pro-poison people voted early and voted
all hard. Voted.
Yeah.
They all voted. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if they get more votes
in the
general election.
Yeah.
I'll be surprised at that.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
good
the general
point.
Election is coming around
November, and okay. We got David Ige beat Carvalho. What's his name?
Abercrombie.
Yeah, that was he whipped him.
He did. I can't
him.
Say he's much. You know, from my opinion, he's much better. But
no,
you know, but it's nice
not.
To have that. Hanna Busa, she lost.
She
barely squeaked through.
You know,
Schatz did.
And Schatz is not much better than Hanabusa
that's the
either.
Thing, you know.
It's a little better. I mean, the Sierra Club endorsed him because he's taken stuck his neck out on global warming. But, you know, he was pro RIMPAC and pro, you know, he's got his issues. But, yeah, it's we could have done worse on the state level. It was nice to get rid of Abercrombie.
Yes.
I was really
yeah.
smiled
yeah, I was
when I saw
that.
Him.
Yeah. And Hanabusa, I was pretty happy.
Yeah,
she's not great getting back in. She was a pro super fairy.
That's right, she was pro super fairy. And Abercrombie was like... saying to the GMO companies at their meeting, you don't have to lobby me. I support you. You
that's
know?
Right. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
You don't have to lobby me.
Right,
I'm in your
right.
camp. And it was his deal to sell public land for profit.
Yeah.
What is that? Public Land Development Corporation, PL.
PLDC.
You know, that was his deal. PLDC
yeah,
was
yeah.
Abercrombie's initiative.
Ross Tagawa, he was a
yeah.
big a proponent yeah. of that as well.
Yeah. And he, I know, it wasn't just the environment that he lost, because he really made the, screwed the teachers bad. I forgot how or why. But, you know, I mean, we've got one of the worst education systems in the United States, and why are we being bad to our teachers, you know? I mean, do we not care about our kids and their education and the future? It's like, come on. So, yeah, it was nice to see Abercrombie go down and... Yeah, but it was unfortunate. We got all the incumbent representatives, state representatives, are still in there.
Mm.
Jimmy Tokioka won and all those guys.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see, yeah.
Go out, you know, if you're up for it, go out to vote if you believe in that kind of system.
Yeah.
Think about. But that brings us right down to 4:30. This is KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea, and also K224CQ Honolulu and K284 AL. Holly Eva.
Yeah. I'm listening to KKCR.
That's right. And this is, we're sitting here with the Kauai Earth Connection news and commentary. And so far this hour, we've covered the coral disease and the RIMPAC with the dead whale in Honolulu and the fish kill that went on in Oahu. Charter amendment brought to you by, failed by the Kauai Rising election results. And now we're going to move ourselves into, there was a beach
access.
There you go.
Yeah. Beach Access Conference. Yeah, it was put on by the Surfrider Foundation with the lead of Hope and Tim Kauai. And a fabulous group of speakers and experts and super controversial issue, beach access. And the lead speaker was a guy who had just won a case on the Haleakala Trail. Haleakala, the big mountain
it's actually a volcano.
Is it a volcano? Is dead volcano, though, right? Yeah.
For now.
For now, yeah. But there was a trail up there that they used for a bazillion years, and they tried to close it, and this guy was able to successfully open it legally. And the whole issue of trails that have been used throughout the centuries and, you know, by Native Hawaiians and all these kinds of issues and what happens when people buy the land and you know, close off the beach and the beaches where the water hits are owned by the public. They're owned by the citizens of the state of Hawaii. That's not true in all states. Beaches in, say, Massachusetts are private. But here in Hawaii, the wet part of the beach, where the vegetation starts, where the vegetation ends, I mean, is owned by the public. So the public can use that part of the beach. Just as a reminder, it's illegal to drive a car on the beach unless you're actually fishing. If you've got a fishing pole in the water, you can drive your car to and from your fishing pole. But you need to know that that's not done on any other island except this one, and except for a few rare, obscure beaches on the other islands. But the bottom line, it is not okay to drag race on the beach or do wheelies or donuts or any. But I digress. So we've got this beach access, this, no, it's called Open Space Commission. And our Open Space Commission gets a budget that was robbed, actually, by the council for budgetary issues. The money, every time you sell a house on Kauai, some of that money goes into this open space fund. And the present sitting commission, in my opinion, having chatted with them, seem to be really oriented towards opening trails to beaches. That's their deal. And
well, it's law, isn't it?
Well,
beach access.
It's fuzzy. It's fuzzy. You know, it's
only by those that want to close them. I think it's fuzzy, their interpretation, but it's pretty straightforward, isn't it?
Well, if the trail has been used for many, many years. You've got what's called public trust doctrine. That's, you know, that's a public road, and if the trail has been on the map, that's thing. But you know, it's. I know every morning I walk down the trail to go to Pakala Bay, and I'm you're walking on the Robinson's property, and there's no question about it. And I when I get to the end of the trail, I go right into the water straight. But lots of people go up. And walk up on the lawn of the Robinson's family house, and you know, the Robinsons allow that, and that's pretty cool of them to allow that. But if they didn't allow it, people would do it anyway because it's such a popular beach for surfers. But the question of you know, I mean, it's an issue that's only going to get more and more intense as more and more people buy beachfront homes. And it's a huge issue on Oahu, and it's a gigantic issue in California. But, you know, it's something that the voters of Kauai voted in to give real estate sales a fund to buy open space. And hopefully that... If there are keepers, and one of the groups that has in their actual mission, their national mission statement is beach access, is the Surfrider Foundation. So got somebody looking out for it, so that's cool. And they had a successful, very good conference this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Very good. So, yeah, good for them.
All right, so the Whale Sanctuary and the Obama Marine Protected Area Initiative.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, you know, President Obama's having a real tough time with Congress, and can't get much through Congress. So he's doing a lot of administrative initiatives, and one of them that pertains to us out here is marine protected areas. And he's encouraging his folks, his federal NOAA people, to increase the amount of marine protected areas under federal jurisdiction. And, you know, that's a big issue here with fishermen who don't want that. Fishermen would prefer no ocean rules whatsoever so that they could do whatever they want. And Obama encouraged recreation. That was part of his statement was, you know, we should encourage recreation in these marine protected areas. But it wasn't too clear on what he meant by recreation. And, you know, right. Recreation can be pretty destructive. I mean, probably one of the bigger, more destructive issues of our reefs here on Kauai is recreation.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. You know, overfishing and just tourists going out there and walking all over it.
You get somebody from Iowa and they you know, go snorkeling and
don't know, like, the, you know, the best way to be out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, you do no harm. That's a concept.
Yeah. Yeah. There's extractive recreation. You know, people take seashells off the beach and they break reefs off and bring it home for their living room. And,
right.
You know, there's recreation that doesn't hurt. I mean, I'm a surfer, and I can tell you that there, surfers step on that reef. That's just part of surfing. You can't not do it. Unless the waves are really pretty big, you wind up in shallow water. You know, so there's no such thing as recreation that's completely harmless. And since we're a tourist-based economy here, Obama's encouragement of recreation in marine protected areas didn't excite me very much. I'm sorry. I'd like some areas just left alone. Just
some wildness?
You know, and that's why I'm not crazy about the whole beach access issue. I mean, one of the best beaches on this island is, and I had the opportunity to tour it, is the beach out at the Pacific Missile Research Facility out there in Manaa. Nobody's allowed there. Nobody. No surfers, no fishermen, nobody is allowed there. And it's probably the healthiest reef and the healthiest beach on the island. And it wasn't, but it's come back.
Yeah.
And they got a guy out there who's monitoring it, and he's got the data. It's, if you leave a beach alone, it'll go right back to where it was. And, you know, that's pretty cool, I think. So
yeah, maybe we should try that. Just close down
certain
beaches.
Yeah. Yeah.
Be interesting. Seems like it'd be a hard thing to sell.
Boy, I'll say.
But, you know, it'd be nice if at least the shell pickers didn't rob our beaches. I really disappointed. There was a candidate that actually owns a shell business and sells shells.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm not going to name the candidate.
You're not going to name him?
No, I'm not. But I was really disappointed.
Oh, wow. You can tell me after the show.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I supported him up until I found out he owned a shell business.
All right.
And I was just like, oh, never mind.
No.
Never mind. Because if you're that unconscious, forget it.
Oh, yeah. I tell little kids, you can admire the shell, but put it back.
Yeah, yeah. Why not?
Like, so, my God.
But our dairy farm, how's our dairy farm been treating us as of late?
Well,
I haven't heard much about it, except that they were all excited to say that they listened to the community, sort of, and decided to cut it in half with plans to get up and running at full speed soon.
Yeah, so they want to build a dairy farm in amongst all the cornfields over on the Grove Farm there by Maha'ulepo. And they want 2,000 cows in this pretty small area.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a lot of cows. I mean, you know, most of the cows that you see here on Kauai are really for tax purposes. They get subsidies to have cows, so they pay much lower taxes. And you know, you see maybe 20 cows. And
there's actually a fair amount of cattle on this island.
Yeah, because
you can get island beef.
Yeah.
And it's always available.
It's always available.
You know,
and
so,
yeah, I have a dog who's a carnivore, and I go to the
I'm not sure if that's a correct statement, actually.
But,
that's
you don't have herds of 2,000 cattle. It's more like 50 cattle or 30 cattle.
That I don't know.
2,000 is a lot of cows, and that's not that big of a farm. So people have been really upset who live down there and who care about Maha'ulepu. That they're building a dairy farm there, and there's been a lot of noise and a lot of public meetings and la di da, and from some really cool generous donors from that area have donated money for the Surfrider Foundation Blue Water Task Force to test the water down there to see the before they build a farm.
Which we have announced, not this month, but once again, you can go to surfriderkauai.org and check it out. And it was skyrocketed. It was so high. I mean, less than 10 in their scale is considered okay, and they were up in the 3,000 range.
The dirtiest beach on the island.
Hands down. By a long shot.
The dirtiest beach on the island.
So,
and I'm going to read, Carl Berg wrote a letter to the Department of Health, and I saw the lab report. It's a 21-page lab report. I'd like to say these really generous donors, they did a lot of testing. The stream water exceeds standards for total nitrogen, nitrate, and nitrite, and total phosphorus. It exceeds the standards for ammonia, nitrogen, for estuaries and embayments. And the stream coming from the Hawaii dairy farm far exceeds Hawaii state standards for nutrients, turbidity, and bacteria, even before dairy cattle are introduced.
Right, if anything, we should go in there and find out what's upstream now before they...
freaking dirty.
That's terrible. It's like, terrible.
And, you know, when you think of Mahalalepu, you think of pristine.
You know, it's funny.
I don't,
because I've driven out there, and it's full of trash from the sugarcane industry. And it's full of GMO corn. It's so far from pristine. Because I keep reading that. Why should we touch the pristine?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's hammered. If anything, we should have some kind of something in place to try to bring it back. Because it is a jewel.
That's true.
There's no doubt. But
destroyed. The beach is a jewel.
The beach is great. Turn around.
Destroyed.
Oh, I mean it is. And so it's interesting to hear people talk about the pristine. If that's pristine, then...
Yeah, we're in trouble.
I'm embarrassed.
So
they decided to cut it in half. 699 cows. Of course, they'll bring over pregnant cows of those 699.
Yeah, yeah.
So right away, within the first couple months, they're all those 699 are going to have calves.
Yeah.
So immediately, it's going to be up to almost 1,400. So they can be lactating.
Right. That's right. That's what milk cows are.
Yeah, it's coming from a farm boy.
So the dairy farm is something that people are concerned about, and the Hyatt Hotel sued them, and they're concerned really about the smell for their patrons. It's a $400 a night hotel.
Exactly. Nobody's even touched on the fact that. The dairy is not even good for you. So it does not do a body good. We won't go into it.
Yeah, it's a whole nother show.
Exactly.
Right,
but nobody's even touched
that. Why are people eating the secretions of a cow?
Right.
You know, how did that become a healthy food? which is well known not to be.
No.
Yeah, so thank you for all the research that's been done on that stream. And Mahalalepu and... Malama Mahalalepu is working on this as an issue, and the Surfrider Foundation has been, la-di-da. So
funny to think that the Hyatt's on our side.
And the Hyatt is on our side. Yeah,
that's
thank you,
cool.
Hyatt Hotel.
This time.
All right, well, a couple other things we want to talk about. The fair is coming up.
Fair is coming up, and every time I go to the fair, I like to go to the fair, by the way. It's a wonderful a community event. But I always see these balloons flying through the air, and I really want to encourage folks not to participate in the whole balloon thing, because you see them flying, and what happens is they end up in the ocean and deflated, and the turtles think they're jellyfish, and they choke and they die. So that's what it is, you know. And other animals, I also chew on them, and they get stuck in their throat. So you know, try to not.
Don't get a
balloon.
Get a balloon.
I mean, if you really care about the environment, if you really truly do, because what a waste. And even the fact that it's a piece of trash. You know, it's exciting for a moment, and whether your kid holds on to it or not, and it flies, eventually it's going to end up in the landfill. And what a complete and utter waste of resources. Of you know, it's going to be trash, or it's going to kill marine life. That's essentially what it is.
Yeah, and just because if it's one of those twisty things that doesn't float up in the air, that's still going to wind up on the ground when it deflates, and it's going to blow in the wind, and it's going to blow in the ocean.
It's got potential.
And you know, I'm not a big fan of the fair, and to me, it's a festival of consumption. It's just a whole lot of wasteful stuff. And, you know, there, okay, yeah, there are things that are fun and there are things that are educational. I don't want to put the whole event down, but, you know, the fair's probably got more styrofoam than any other institution in this island. I mean, and they produce so much garbage. And, yeah, Zero Waste Kauai has been working with them for years, and they're getting better.
They are getting better. I will definitely congratulate that movement in that direction.
Yes, indeed. And Pat Gagan and John Harder taking the lead in Zero Waste Kauai on that, and all power to them. But they've still got a ways to go, and it's, you know, it's consumption, and consumption is, you know, it's
what we do.
What
we consume. Yeah. So if we could consume wisely, stay away from styrofoam, stay away from the balloons, you know, you can go there and have a great time, and not generate any trash.
Yeah.
Think about it. It's not hard. We live here. We have to live in this trash, okay? If you generate the trash, we have to live in it. So think about that.
Yeah.
Go to the fair this year if you so choose, and it's not a call to action. Go if you'd like and see if you can do it. Not generate any trash.
That would be a challenge.
Bring your own water bottle.
Yeah, you want pretty much. Yeah. Be selective where you eat. There's a lot of compostable containers there.
It's true,
and it is true they land up in the landfill anyway. But it's some of it will get composted because Zero Waste Kauai is helping them do that. You know, and speaking of zero waste, got a couple of minutes. I'm going to throw in that one of the things that came across the desk of the county council was everybody's complaining and whining about the property tax increases, including me, by the way. But there's another issue that's pay as you throw.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Let's talk about that for a few moments because that's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's if you generate a lot of trash, you have to pay more. If you generate a little trash, you have to pay less. And what they do for on the east side, the west side, we don't have them, but they give you trash cans.
The giant ones.
The giant ones.
How are you going to do that?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's...
That's more... Those giant ones are more trash than I generate in, like, a month.
Oh, most people are... A lot of people are that way. I'm speculating, of course, like, but most people that I know don't fill those things up.
Yeah.
But I think they got the cart in front of the horse because... You know, our mayor has been promising since he got into office to set up a material recycling facility, a MRF. And so here's this pay-as-you-throw. There's nothing set up for, Allison Fraley's all like, oh, we'll recycle more. And it's like, we won't, because if you're in construction, you got to pay for that.
Yeah.
Because there is no facility set up for it. I just thought that was just, I mean, it's a neat idea, but we're so far from that. I think we should work on pre-cycling or hold these businesses, corporations, accountable for the trash that they bring
to
this
island.
And people always forget that there's an average of over 28,000 tourists here every single day.
Yeah.
And that's a large community of people that definitely aren't taking their trash home.
Well, you know, the tourists, I think, are more conscious of recycling than the people who live here. Because in the mainland, recycling is normal. It's mainstream. I mean, I heard the numbers for San Francisco. I almost fell off my chair. I forgot what they were, but it was close to 70% or 80% of their garbage is recycled there.
Sure, but they don't know where the facilities are here.
Yeah.
They're coming with nothing. They're buying bottled water. They're grabbing all those tourist magazines.
Yeah.
I would disagree.
Yeah,
I know when I go on vacation.
You're probably right. Yeah.
I try, but it's really hard. I know I generate a lot of trash when I'm on vacation.
Right.
But that's 30,000 people that have no responsibility whatsoever.
That's right.
We have to put up with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so anyway, the pay as you throw. I'm glad you brought that up because I was
the cart before the horse.
We gotta get
recycling in. It's got to be good. It's got to be curbside. We got to have a MRF, a material,
right.
A place to put the recycles and sort it out.
Yeah.
We're so behind the day.
Totally.
So all right. So don't buy balloons
if you don't so choose. We can't do a call to action.
No call to actions,
but if you care about the environment,
if you care about turtles and birds, and there's somebody who's doing a PhD thesis in plastics, bird endangered species eating birds at the lighthouse, and
it's terrible.
Oh my god,
it's horrendous.
Their stomachs are full of plastic.
Right,
like they eat cigarette lighters.
Birds eat cigarette lighters.
Right, right.
Don't forget, those cigarette lighters are used once and throw away. You know, I mean, you can't refill those things. You know, you could use matches.
You're right.
So anyway, yeah, and so what? We're, you know, we talked about the election results. We got it. We got creamed. We got to get out there more and get good candidates elected. The Beach Access Conference, the Surfrider Foundation put on, the Obama's Marine Protected Area Initiative. There were 2,000 cows at Mahalepu, right down from the Hyatt. We're talking about balloons at the fair and the whole pay-as-you-throw issue, and just kind of end the show up with a little GMO news.
The Mexican beekeepers, they won a suit against Monsanto. A small group of beekeepers in Mexico inflicted a blow on biotech giant Monsanto.
Yeah.
The district judge in the state of the Yucatan last month overturned a permit issued to Monsanto. And the permit authorized Monsanto to plant seeds in 7 states, 625,000 acres. But, a small group of beekeepers said that, that's not a good thing because of the glyphosate and, you know, the fungicides and the pollen. And
it kills everything. I mean, these airplanes come and they spray the ground and kill everything. And then they plant these pesticide-resistant soybeans. And then they come and they spray it again with an airplane and kill everything except the soybeans. And, you know, it's like massively expensive. These Mexican farmers don't have the money to do that kind of farming. And the beekeepers are saying, this is killing our bees. The bees love soybeans. I got bees. I got beehives at our house, and those little guys have loved the soybeans. You know, we have soybeans growing wild at our house. And
Right.
They love soybeans, flowers, you know. It's like, whatever. So.
And the glyphosate goes into the honey. There was folks on the west side, they tested some west side honey, and I found out that tumors start at 0.1 parts per million. And the two tests that were
parts per billion,
0.1.
Yeah.
And there was one test from honey from Mana, and one from Kaumakani. And the one from Mana was 77.6 parts per million. Remember, 0.1 tumors start to And then the one in Kaumakani, which is right where Dow Agribusiness is everywhere, that was 92.3 or something like that. I mean, it's 900 times over tumors.
Yeah.
And so, but anyway, that runs us up to the end of the show.
And
I think,
not saying don't eat honey, but just so you know that we're spraying poisons on our crops. And wait a minute, Bruce, let's just say that they were testing the streams in Oahu, and they found pesticides there too in all the streams. And you know, most of the poisons there, it's an urban area, are coming from people who buy it at Home Depot. You know, I mean, Oahu's not a big agricultural state, island.
Right. And they were assured that those pesticides are safe, and here it is showing up in the water. But that brings us right up to close to the top of the hour. It looks like Thomas is in for Jazz Show. You got a name for your show?
Sunset Jazz.
But Thomas will be in here, so stick around, folks. Thanks again to my favorite Westside environmentalists for being here.
And we're doing we'll see you again in a month.
Third Monday.
News and commentary in the Kauai environment.
All right.
And thanks for listening.
Yes, sir. All right. Take care of yourself.
little cordoned off places. Check them out, check them all out. Take your time. How far is too far? How much is enough? You gotta test this stuff. I mean, how you gonna know what you need, what you like, till you've been around the block a few times?